If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
I think it's so important, right? Because just imagine that something happens to your job and you feel like, okay, maybe I don't have enough to retire, but I have enough to tide me over for the next 2 or 3 months till I figure it out and I have something coming in, right? It just gives you that buffer that I think it's so important. And I think so many people don't think of that because they just think that their job is always going to be that, which 100% I was in that same mindset. That's why I'm such a big advocate for it, because trust me, please learn from my lesson, because that was not a fun time.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Hey, Barry, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Sam. I'm excited to be on the show, man. I had you on my show, now I get to be on your show, so this is exciting.
Absolutely, and I don't know what it took us 2 or 3 reschedulings to finally get this done, but but here we are. Hey, Barry, can you do us a favor and just give our listeners an idea of who it is they're listening to?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So I'll try and give the high level thing. So Barry Griffiths, born in Wales in the UK, grew up in a tiny little town, like no stoplight, a fish and chip shop, a grocery store, a small restaurant, my dad's business, and 3 pubs. And that tells you everything you need to know about where I grew up, right? So grew up there, worked out, was a sports guy my whole life, and started wrestling when I was around 24. Did that for about 3 or 4 years in the UK, and then got signed by the WWE. And in that time as well, I was on the UK version of Gladiators. We have a UK version. You call it US Gladiators. We call it just Gladiators. My gladiator name was Goliath. Anyway, got signed by the WWE, moved over in 2010. For the WWE, went to the training school for a year, appeared on TV in 2011, did some cool stuff, was on some main events, Monday Night Raw, pay-per-views, wrestled at Madison Square Garden, wrestled John Cena, Randy Orton, Kane, some, you know, those big-name guys. Did that for 4 years, and then out of the blue one day, they told me they wouldn't renew my contract, and I didn't expect it at all. Like, there was no real sign of that was coming, and it was just kind of came out of nowhere, and it kind of hit me for 6, didn't know what to do. And I'll dive into that a little bit later because it's part of the story where real estate kind of came in. And then luckily got a job through Cirque du Soleil maybe a year later, moved out. And this was, I lived in Tampa the whole time there. And then moved out to Las Vegas to work for Cirque du Soleil in the end of 2015. And been working for them ever since. And where real estate came in all of this was January of 2014, I bought a house, right? A very expensive house because I was in the WWE, and I thought in my head I was going to be the WWE champion. I really thought that. Not from a place of arrogance, just from hard work and a trajectory I had at one point. I thought, really thought that. So I can buy an expensive house, right? Because I'm going to be the world heavyweight champion. What can go wrong? Well, fast forward April of that year, they didn't renew my contract. So now I've got this huge mortgage payment. I'm a wrestler in another country. Don't have too many skill sets outside of picking up people and picking up dumbbells, right? I had it, but I'm just joking, kind of. And I had this house that I bought that I loved. So I lost kind of my dream at that time of being the world heavyweight champion. I couldn't sell my house. So I went down the rabbit hole of finding a tenant, you know, learning all that stuff, how to manage, blah, 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 screening a tenant, all that stuff, bigger pockets, rich dad, poor dad. Later, I fell in love with real estate and absolutely love real estate. And now I have a small portfolio. I have a daily podcast, obviously, that you've been on. And I just absolutely love real estate. So that's kind of a high level long story.
Right. No, man. No, that's great. I think that gives us, you know, that frames a lot of this conversation. I think it's interesting. You see, you started wrestling at 24, right? Which is not usually the phrase we hear. I mean, most of the time people are like, hey, you know, when I wrestled back in high school, what spurred an interest in that?
Yeah, in the UK is a lot different. There isn't your version of amateur wrestling, I guess collegiate wrestling, whatever you would call it. There's not that version in the UK. It's only really showmanship type, WWE type wrestling. So when I started wrestling in 24, that was how that started. And what that spurred was, I wasn't really a big wrestling fan growing up because we only had 4 channels, believe it or not, growing up most of my life until I was like 15 or 16. So there wasn't really wrestling on TV. Didn't know too much about it. But growing up, I always wanted more from this small town. And it's a great place. I love where I'm from. Amazing people, picturesque, like just such a great place, but there's not a lot going on. And I always wanted more. And to this day, I don't really know what caused that. I don't know really what was driven that, but I always remember wanting more growing up. And I was sports guy. I started lifting weights, and I loved lifting weights. So I was in the gym every day, eating healthy, like not drinking while everyone else is down the pub. Like Saturday night, I'm at the gym or prepping my meals or whatever like that. Right, Sunday morning, I'm in the gym again when everyone's coming over. Wow. I was like, I'm doing all this and I love it, right? What can I do with it? Because I was like 6'6", 280 and pretty jacked at the time. So I was like, what can I do with this, right? I'm training like a professional. I'm living my life. And I was working construction for my dad at the time, which probably was another reason that spurred me on to want to do something else, because I hated that job. It was just something I landed, because in a small town, can you imagine, there's not a plethora of jobs that you can choose. It's not like, hey, what do I want to be? No, it's like, what is available to you and can you be? And I just fell back on working for my dad in construction. I was a carpenter and I hated it. Probably the worst carpenter in the history of carpentry. I don't do any work now. Like literally in my house, wife does everything. Like for some reason, I hate it. I don't know. I just terrible at it. So I never really got the hang of it. But I always wanted more from that. And I was built this physique and I was like, what can I do? I never wanted to do bodybuilding. It just never appealed to me. And one day wrestling came on the TV and I was like, a lot of the guys kind of looked similar to me. And I thought I was kind of athletic from my athletic background. And I was like, man, that would be cool if I could do that. And like law of attraction, being open to it, looking for it, whatever you want to call it. Like 2 months later, a small, tiny little wrestling show came to my town. Like, and I went there with the intention of trying to meet the promoter, trying to somehow get it. But where I'm from as well, talk about like some psychology stuff, right? Wrestling is looked down upon. Like, I think it's probably changed now. And hopefully I was part of that reason. But at the time it's like, oh, look at these guys in men in tights, like pretending to fight. Like here it's like, oh, you're in the WWE or you're wrestling. Oh, that's so cool. I love wrestling. It's such an awesome show. It's so cool. There it's like, oh, you guys like pretend to fight. Oh, hey, who won that fight? Ha ha ha. You know, it's like really kind of looked down on. So I was like, and I knew that. So I wanted to start, but I was like, had that in my back of my head. And it was tough as well. This small little town, rural town in the middle of nowhere. Where do you go to start wrestling, right? Here you live in, I live in Las Vegas. I bet there's 4 or 5 different wrestling schools where I could go and start wrestling, right? It's completely different. So I went to this show with the pretense of taking my friend's son. Hey, let's take your son to the show. He'll love it. And I'm like, really? Yeah, I'll pay. So we went there and I met the promoter and like kind of just really struck it off. He was an amazing, amazing guy. He became a mentor. He's the guy that the reason I am here today and for everyone is just taught me so much stuff, older guy. And that's just where it kind of, how it kind of evolved. It's kind of a crazy random story, to be honest. And from there, I wrestled for him all over the UK and Europe. And then through that, I got signed by the WWE. Just kind of ended in Tampa, Florida, which was like for a small town boy, like, and the weather in Wales is terrible, right? I get to Tampa, Florida. First week, someone takes me to the beach in Tampa and I'm like, wow, okay. I've arrived like this. Okay. This is like, I've died and gone to heaven. So yeah. Yeah.
You discovered sunlight.
Yes. Yeah. And beach. And like, you know, I'm married now, but you know, there was a good looking female walking around in a bikini that kind of caught my eye at the time, you know? Yeah.
Right. All good things, man. That's awesome. I mean, there's a lot of things you can glean from that story, not just a fun, like, hey, that's cool, but you took action. I think that's one of the things that a lot of people, they want to get involved in something, either it's wrestling or it's real estate or it's something else, but they do nothing but talk about it. So for you, you took action and said, well, I don't know, let's go meet the promoter. I mean, there was no fear of failure. It was rather, what do I have to lose? Let's go meet the guy.
Yeah. And you know what it was for me as well? There was that taking action and everyone's opinion and everyone's reaction to wrestling as well. And I'm not going to say that I was able to be like, oh, this doesn't matter. No, it did. And it affected me. But and I think this is translatable to real estate. That's where I'm going with this, is that I had a bigger goal. Why, as everyone call it, or just that burning ambition to be more, what, see more, do more, live more. That was stronger than anything else. And that was what made me take that action. That was what led me to going to that show and not caring what people think and just doing it anyway. Because literally, honestly, nobody really said it. A few people did. But it was just in the background all the time. And I really kept so much to myself. I didn't tell people what I did for a long time. And even then, I was just kind of kept to myself just because it was easier. And, you know, I didn't want to let that outside. And translate that to real estate, right? People are going to tell you can't do it. You shouldn't do it. It's risky. Real estate is bad. They have an uncle who lost everything. Yeah, there's always that story, right? You dive into that story. Well, there's a lot more usually to it. I mean, usually it's a lot of things that went wrong for that to happen. But you've got to ignore that voice, because the goal of what you want to be and the life that you want to live and everything that goes along with that, right, is way more important than that, right? I'm not saying cut people out, but tune them out. Like, get a pair of noise cancelling headphones or whatever, right? And create that in your head and just ignore it and know what you want with your life and that what you want to achieve and what's really important. And that helped me a lot, you know, and that was what drove me to, like you said, to take all that action and also to ignore the, not the naysayers, but just the negativity, I guess.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to be able to tune some of that out, because I think everybody who is starting out in real estate or scaling their business, they always have that family member that's like, what is it you're doing again? They kind of look at you quizzically like, I don't know about that. I don't need you to know about it. So anyway, moving on. Yeah, good for you. That's fantastic. Now you're with Cirque du Soleil, your guys' show. I'd love to hear what happened, because, I mean, who's going to Cirque du Soleil shows right now?
Yeah, nobody, I don't think. Well, the governor just announced, I think, June 1st, that everything is opening back up here in Vegas. So, like, everyone can open up. Not that everything will, maybe right away. March 9th, 2020 was the last time we did a show. So it's been over a year since we've performed. You know, I know it's been hard for a lot of people, but for me, it's not been too bad, because I've got my podcast. Real estate's kept me really busy. I've been really busy with that, and I've really enjoyed it. But you'll go back to work this year, no doubt about it. Probably July, start training, maybe start performing October, maybe sooner. I don't know. It's hard to say. There's a lot of factors that depend on that. But I've been lucky, like, you know, going back to the time with WWE when that came crashing down, like, I didn't have a plan B at that time. Like, I had nothing else, like I said, right? I was just going to be the World Heavyweight Champion, so nothing else matters, right? I had people telling me, and I heard people saying, hey, and they didn't necessarily mention real estate, but just have something else. Like, don't just put all your eggs in one basket. And I was like, no, I'm putting all my eggs in one basket and that's it, right?
Right.
And looking back, you have to have somewhat of that attitude to be successful in something as competitive as, you know, being in the WWE or whatnot. But there was so much stuff I could have done, right? I could have invested passively so easily, right? You know, I started making pretty good money from the day I got to there, right? I was making like 50 grand a year, right? And back in 2010, that wasn't bad money at all. And, you know, I was making six figures, but for most of the time I was there. And I could have very easily been poking 25, 50 grand a year into a syndication. That's what I wish I would have done, especially the way the rise of multifamily now, right? That would have doubled or tripled at that point. But I could have been building some kind of nest egg or something, so that when in 2014, when that happened, you know, I could have had a good amount of passive income coming in. Probably not enough to retire or anything, but enough that it would have given me that ease of knowing that I have some kind of income to kind of offset all these bills that I had coming in. So then where I'm going with this as well is that fast forward to what happened in March 9th, where we did our last show and everything came crashing down and nobody knew where we were going from here, right?
Right.
Could have been a few months, could have been a few years. Nobody really knew at that point. The only thing I can think of is like Zen. I was so relaxed about it. It was like, cool, I had a new son. I'll go home with him, spend some time with him, focus on some more real estate. And everything's going to be fine. And if we don't go back, it's okay. I would want to go back, definitely want to go back. But if it doesn't, everything's going to be okay. And the difference was that I had real estate. I had some various incomes. I did a private money loan. I had my six unit that had some income coming in. And I had I invested as a limited partner as well. So I had all those streams of income that was enough, along with some unemployment as well, which kind of helped. But all that was like, I had no worries in the world. But also what was huge for me, I think, was the knowledge of real estate. Like, it wasn't that I was super knowledgeable, but I understood real estate. I understood what was possible and I understood what I needed to do if it came down to that. And that knowledge is almost bigger than the income stream to me, because those people always talk about the instrument. Yes, that's great, the very stream of income. But that knowledge of what is possible and what you need to do, like, even if you go to nothing, once you have that knowledge and that understanding, and that knowledge and understanding is different for everyone because their goals and aspirations are different. But that knowledge was just so key to me, because I, you know, I was like, all right, if I go to nothing, I can go after real estate. I can go to work in real estate and create that income and do really create something with it. So, you know, that's why I'm such a huge advocate for people to do some sort of investing with real estate, because you need something there, right? And I think last year, I know I'm in entertainment, right? People say, okay, that's a fragile business. Yeah, it is. But look at last year. Isn't anyone's business fragile? Like, who saw the pandemic coming, right? You know, it's like people who rely on their corporate job and climbing that corporate ladder. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always say, don't rely on that. That's too fragile in itself. What if something happens to that business? What if that employer decides that you're no longer that important to them, right? Your family's lives and the roof above your head, the food on the table depends on that, right? And the, you know, your future retirement as well on top of that. So I think it's so important. It doesn't mean that you need to be like 24/7 in real estate, but just have some kind of plan B. And I learned that the hard way, and I'm talking from experience. So
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely true. And I loved your point there about knowledge, this set in motion, obviously Cirque du Soleil closing and you not really having work. You go, oh, well, I've got the tools to go out and build whatever it is I want to build. Oh, well, we'll figure this out. That's a very different feeling than panic, like, oh, no, now what? And that's what a lot of people miss. They just don't. You've said it much more eloquently than I could.
I think it's so important, right? Because just imagine that something happens to your job and you feel like, okay, maybe I don't have enough to retire, but I have enough to time me over for the next 2 or 3 months till I figure it out and I have something coming in, right? It just gives you that buffer that I think it's so important. And I think so many people don't think of that because they just think that their job is always going to be that, which 100% I was in that same mindset. That's why I'm such a big advocate for it, because trust me, please learn from my lesson, because that was not a fun time, right? April 2014, when that happened, it was just like the world had come crashing. Comes for one, obviously it was a dream to be the world heavyweight champion, but also like, what do I do now? Where do I go? What, like, how do I pay these bills? Like, it was like a double, triple whammy in a way, you know, for all of that. So, you know, if I just didn't have that financial burden on me, you know, I could have just dealt with it a lot, but it would have been so much easier to deal with that blow at that time.
Do you still own that house?
I sold it 2 years ago. Yeah, it was an okay deal. I bought it in like a really nice community. That's what I was paying, $2,600 a month in mortgage payments. So I bought it for $435, but like the HOA and CDD fees were like, I don't know, I want to say like $600-$800 a month.
Right.
And it was a beautiful house. I love that house, but painful. And that's why I love the house. That's why I couldn't bring myself to sell it, because I had that. It wasn't necessarily a financial decision.
Right.
It didn't make sense to sell because I would have lost money, but it was more like, I love this house. So I've lost my dream. I can't bear to let go of this really cool thing I just bought. And that really gives me a lot of happiness. I wake up every day and I'm like, oh, this house is cool. I love it. So I couldn't bring that. So that's why the intention was to come back to it. And obviously as I got out with that funk and was like, okay, things. I figured, okay, hey, I've got a lot of equity sitting in this house. Let me sell that and invest in multifamily. Because part of the story, as I came into real estate, I figured out, you know, everyone tells you, start with the end in mind, right? What is your goal? What is you trying to achieve? And mine was to get to six figures, 100 grand a year in cash flow. That was my goal. So I figured 40 single family homes, I think at 250 a door. My math isn't too good. I can't remember. It was a while back now. I think that's right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I still got it. And I was like, okay, cool. 10-year plan, 4 houses a year. I wasn't really too familiar with creative financing and the BRRRR at times. So like, I'm going to buy 3 a year with 20% down, one with a 5% owner occupied. Like, how much do I need to save? I need to blah, blah, blah. Okay. I can't spend on this, but I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to get my wife to make more money and all this kind of stuff. And then I met with someone one day, and the power of networking, meeting people and talking to people that are more experienced to you, right? This has kind of changed the trajectory of my investing and maybe my life a little bit, was that he said, hey, you know, you can buy a 140 unit property, right? I was like, what do you mean? Like, you can buy one like small apartment complex that's 40 units and you can kind of get there in one deal. Now, obviously you need money and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't quite, but just the paradigm shift in my head, the realization of like, wow, if I get involved in multifamily, I can get there so much quicker. And then obviously the scalability of it, that you can use other people's money, the one roof, the, you know, the one property management, the one location, the fact that it's valued on the NOI, the net operating income, you know, rather than comparable rent. So you're in control essentially of that property and the valuation. All that stuff followed afterwards, but it all just makes so much sense to me. So I had 3 single family homes at the time, 1 in Florida, 2 in Vegas, and I slowly sold all of them because I wanted to be in multifamily. And the market had gone up a little bit at that time. Man, I wish I kind of, looking back, I wish I could have, it's easy to say now, right? But if I probably would have got, I don't know, 50, 80 grand more per house in those two houses in Vegas, because it's just nuts here in Vegas right now. But
yeah,
but it worked out, because I ended up buying a 6-unit last year in Covington, which is, you know, just outside of Cincinnati, kind of Midwest, miles away from Vegas. And I can get into that if you want. But that turned out to be a great deal. I bought that deal for 300, put maybe 80, 90 into it. And I'm under contract now to sell for 750.
Good for you.
So I did some cool things, but I think, you know, a rising tide raises all ships, and rents went up, cap rates compressed there. So I'm in the process of selling that and then hopefully buying, you know, 50 to 60 units in Cincinnati, Dayton, Ohio area. So it's kind of worked out, right? It's easy to say, I wish I would have held on to the property, but I may never have bought this property and had that happen, right? So...
Yeah, you can't get mad about the things you've sold. I mean, that's there. I think every investor probably has that. If I could I, would I, should I have feeling. I certainly have a lot of those over the years, but you know, that's just part of it. You also can't count the number of things that you sold that you're like, oh wow, I sold that at the right time.
Right. Yeah. So and my thinking at the time was as well, right? I think I'm somewhat risk adverse. The market had gone up and I'd made money from when I bought. So I was like, hey, I've made money on this. Yes, the market could go up, but yes, the market could go down and I'm happy with what I made. So really, I was happy and I'm still happy with it. I made good money on both of them. And the Florida home, yeah, I probably broke even or made a little bit of money. But essentially, you know, I invested one of that in a private money loan. So I got that for the last of the year. I made 12% on that one. Like, you know, so little things like that. It all works out. And like everything, like life, right? Everything leads to you to where you are now, right? And you are exactly where you should be right now, right? You know what I mean? And like, there's so many things you could have wished that could have been different, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it wouldn't have led me to where I am now. And I'm pretty happy where I am now. So
that's fantastic. So I think you said it already, but what does the future look like for you in real estate? What do you want that to look like?
Yeah, a few things. One is buy 50 to 60 units with that 1031, which is going to be interesting because the market is super hot and being on the 1031 is going to be challenging. But I've got a friend that we're actually doing some direct-to-seller calling through a VA. So he had a system set up and he offered to kind of help me out with that. So we got that going on right now. So maybe when I check my phone, I might have a deal when we get off this. But yeah, so to buy something like that, have a great cash flowing asset like that, which hopefully just from the money, the proceeds of the sale of that 6 unit just shows you how, and I only bought that 6 unit a year ago, how it can happen, right? And I did a lot of the right things, and I said I got a little bit lucky along the way as well, but just shows you how quick it can happen. Now, realize it's a long-term game, but it can happen quickly, and that deal could hopefully give me a real basis of, I could essentially retire off that money. You know what I mean? I could live off, because we don't spend a lot of money. So that could give me a real basis. So that, focus on that. And then also I have some partners that we started a business, a group, Four Horsemen Capital, that we're looking to take down syndications. We're looking in the North Carolina, South Carolina area. We made some offers in Columbia. We made 2 offers, came pretty close on a couple. Got some offers out now. So looking to dive into a lot more syndication and yeah, continue to grow my portfolio essentially, and just talk about real estate as well, right? On my podcast, I just love, like I talked about, I think hopefully it comes across, I love real estate, and I think, you know, it's such a powerful thing and it can just really change your life for the better. And I think it's just amazing, and I wish more people would know about it and would be open to it, I think, as well, because it just can change it. And even if you don't care about money and you don't want to retire, blah, 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 it can just give you that, like I said, that plan B, that comfort, that something that, you know, knowledge that things, you know, can be okay if things go wrong, right? And I think I've spoken to a lot of people that says, like, they didn't quit their job, but what they did give them was, once they got to the number where they knew, okay, whatever happens, I can live off this number, give them so much freedom, right? They don't have to take, you know, a lot of BS at work. They don't have to, you know what I mean? It gives you that freedom, right? You don't have, right. You're not depending on that one stream of income from your W-2 to climb that corporate ladder. And so, like, because then once you have that, you're so dependent on that, right? You've got to, like, toe the company line and do it. And I'm not saying they were being assholes or anything like that, excuse my French, but I'm not saying that they were being, like, irresponsible employees, but they didn't have to take BS that sometimes you have to take, and you can change your outlook. And it's just really such a cool thing, in my opinion.
That is fantastic. I love everything about your story, both just starting at the beginning and, you know, getting into the WWE, you know, how you came here, then, you know, just took your bumps and bruises along the way, but really set yourself up, you know, for success. And then, of course, you know, we don't have time for it, but would love to hear more about Four Horsemen Capital and what that looks like, just kind of how you're pivoting and growing your business. And yet at the same time, retaining your desire to go back to Cirque du Soleil. I mean, does it sound like that's fun for you?
Yeah, that'll be interesting because I'm pretty busy now. My days are pretty packed between, you know, doing interviews and looking at deals and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So when I go back to Cirque, I usually leave for work at 4 and get home about midnight. So I enjoy that actually. I'm more of an evening person than a morning person. But then it'll be interesting to see. I'll have to figure things out at that point where what that looks like once I go back to work and trying to, like, fit everything in and obviously have a family life, everything like that. So, yeah.
yeah. Something at some point would give, but you'll figure that out when that time comes. Barry, we're out of time. Let's jump here into the final four. I want to hear your answers to these questions. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
Talking from experience, don't wait. I waited. 2018, I started looking at multifamily properties here in Las Vegas. and listening to economists. I don't think I'm a pessimist, but I'm somewhat risk adverse, I say. And that's okay in real estate, I think. You know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But thinking, oh, Vegas is a boom or bust town and the market's getting hard and it's been a long extension, you know, it's been a longest cycle in history or whatever. And like something's got to give, blah, blah, blah. Listening to economists and whatnot. And I just held off. And I was like, oh, I don't think this is a good deal because if there's a crash and blah, 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 or there's a good hash coming and I'm going to buy. If I'd have bought anything in 2018, literally would have doubled in price. That's how crazy the Vegas market has been in that time. And I did the same with, like, just even in Cincinnati. You know, I bought last year, but I took my time and wanted to find the right deal and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not saying go out and buy anything. Do your underwriting or analyze the deal and make sure that it makes sense. But man, get in the game, right? It's like I wasted years of just waiting around thinking there's going to be a crash. I got my money already. I'm in the bank. And meanwhile, inflation's eating that money away. So yeah, just don't wait. Get in as soon as you can and make sure the deal makes sense, of course, but don't do what I did and stick around the sidelines for too long.
Right. No, absolutely. Second question is this. What is one thing you are doing to stay on top of your game?
Organization is tough for me. So I've really scheduled things out in my calendar. Coming from a wrestling background and a sports background, like organization in that aspect in terms of that stuff isn't my strong point. So now if I'm going to say I'm going to call someone, I send a Google invite, I put it in there because otherwise it won't happen. So just scheduling out everything in my calendar has made a huge difference to me. And that way is when my wife can look at it and be like, okay, I could do this here and that. So yeah, that's really helped.
Got it. No, that's awesome. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you are doing to make the world a better place?
I donate to charity. I have monthly set up to St. Jude's and to a Churchill Animal Foundation here in Vegas because I'm mad about my dog. I think it's a focus on dogs, but I'm not fully sure. But yeah, I do that. And in the past, and I want to get back to it. And I volunteered that I used to go meet people that were in hospice and just spend an hour with them. And yeah, that was cool. I want to get back to that. And I was at a children's hospital where I go hang out with the kids while they're there for treatment and just take a load off their parents as well. So those are things I would like to get back to as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, obviously, you know, donating finances is one thing, but when you're giving time, I think that's, you know, one of the coolest things you can do. So
I couldn't agree more. I think that's the ultimate. Your time, your mind or whatever, you're just giving a physical side of things to stuff is huge, I think. Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Barry, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah. So I have a daily podcast. I have an Instagram. I have my website is the best place to find out all that. It's called wrestlingwithrealestate.com. If any of your listeners are interested in multifamily, which I'm a big fan of, when I started out, one of the biggest troubles I had was underwriting deals, how to understand what line items go where and like what that should be. And I've had so much trouble with that underwriting when I started out. So I put a quick video together with one of my friends who's really good at underwriting. And we just kind of break down roughly what line items should be and kind of roughly as a rule of thumb, what might be those expenses, what that might look like. So if they go to wrestlingwithrealestate.com, that's there and they sign up and they'll get that free video on how to underwrite.
That's awesome. Barry, thanks so much for your time. Certainly appreciate it.
Man, thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.